beautiful sunshine and day. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity for us to glorify your name and to reminisce on the gift that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. A demonstration of just how much you love each and every one of us. That you would separate a part of yourself, become flesh, and take our sins upon you. Heavenly Father, this morning as we read through your word, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Lord, I ask for your wisdom. Keep me on your topic this morning, Lord. And if I start to deviate from it, bring me back. These things I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we've read through quite a few scriptures already. We've started with Mary, where she is visited by the angel. And here we have this young teenage girl that's told she's going to give birth to the holy baby Jesus Christ. And then we read of Joseph. And we don't know if Mary went and told Joseph that she was pregnant, or if Joseph found out through the family or what. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but we know that Joseph knows that Mary is pregnant. And that he's contemplating what he's going to do. You see, under the law, he could have her stoned. But Joseph instead is thinking about putting her away or divorcing her. She was betrothed to him, which was still a legal binding arrangement between the families. And he was contemplating divorcing her because of the situation they were in. You see, he didn't want to see her stoned. He could have been angry. He could have been upset. I mean, think about it. Someone that's been promised to you in marriage is pregnant. And you know you're not the father. But Joseph demonstrates mercy. And he starts to think about Mary and possibly divorcing her. And then an angel appears to Joseph and talks to Joseph and explains to him that this birth is of the Holy Spirit. That she carries with her the Son of God. And he marries her. And we read in Advent that they travel to Bethlehem to be counted in the census. And there in Bethlehem, Mary has the baby Jesus. Now God sent His Son to die for our sins one time. He didn't send him to be born of the richest family in the land. He didn't send him to be born in a wonderful castle, a wonderful fortress, a large temple, a big cathedral. He didn't even send him to be born in a comfy inn. But he picked a humble stable for the Son of God to be born in. The shepherds heard glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And if you would open with me to Luke. We'll continue there with the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that have come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, Mary had been told she would be the mother of the Son of God. And she gave birth in a stable and laid her baby boy in a feeding trough. And when these shepherds came to her and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men," is what the angels had told them, she pondered it. She took it to heart. We know later in Luke in 21 through 35, they take the baby to be circumcised some days later. To Simeon, there at the temple. Now, the law would ask that they bring an offering for this. And you can read about that in Leviticus 12 if you like. But the law allowed for multiple different types of offering to be brought, depending on your social status. And we find that Mary and Joseph, they bring with them a pair of turtle doves to offer, which was to signify lower class, not completely impoverished. So God, when he chose to give us Jesus Christ, he placed him in a humble family of a carpenter that couldn't afford a lamb for the circumcision of the Son of God, but instead two small birds. Now, Simeon, when he circumcises Jesus, he makes an announcement. And we see this in Luke 2:29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." In Matthew chapter 2, we pick up with the events. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoke by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry." You see, the three wise men were originally sent as spies by Herod to go find this son, the Son of God that would overturn his empire. He wanted to know where he was. But the wise men, after they came across Jesus, and we read this in the Advent a few weeks back, after they came across Jesus, and they realized who he was, they went home a different way. And there's a whole sermon in that in itself. Because when we come across Jesus Christ and we understand who he was, who he is, and who he will be, we can't go back the way we came. our life takes a different road at that point. And Herod, when he found out that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." You see, Herod, he knew that the baby was to be born in Bethlehem. So he makes a horrendous decree. All male children born in this range, in that entire region, kill them all. And he sends his men out to do it. Verse 19, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into a region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" You see, in Luke 2:14, I take you back there, we hear what the angels said. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And you have Mary and Joseph who heard these things. They pondered them. They marveled over them. But they're looking around, and where's this peace, Lord? You see, when we sing these songs, we think, the peace is the baby sleeping in this manger. It's a beautiful picture. And that's where the devil wants us to keep, is that's the peace that's meant. But when we look at everything else around there, there's no peace going on. The babies are being slaughtered in Bethlehem. Joseph has to take his family and run to Egypt in fear. The wise men are sent as spies to hunt out this child. And Mary and Joseph have to be going, "Where's the peace, Lord? This is your son. We've gone from being outcast in society, from our friends and our family, being shunned, for Mary being pregnant before she was married. We're poor. You didn't even provide a place for us here at an inn. Just a stable. And now we're on the run." So they're pondering these things. Where's the peace? John 15:18. You see, Jesus understood there wasn't going to be the world's view of peace for him. And he said in 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." See, he knew when he was born how much the world would hate him. That King Herod would hate him so much to kill every male child in an entire region in hopes to wipe him out. So what's this peace? Let's turn to John 14:27. Yes. Yep, you're right, son. 14 and 27, this is Jesus again. "Peace I leave with you.
My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
You see, the peace Jesus Christ brought with him is not what we think of. You see, we think of a peaceful sleeping baby, or a peaceful life, or a calm meadow, still waters, beautiful singing. Animals bowing down. But that's not the peace the angels sing of. So what is this peace then? And we have it in the song. It goes, hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. You see, the peace that Jesus Christ brought wasn't a peaceful baby sleeping in a manger. That's not what they were singing about. They were singing about the reconciliation, the peace between us and God. Because when Jesus Christ was born, we could finally have that peace between us and God. That's the peace they were singing about. God and sinners are reconciled. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to those who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That is the peace on earth that the angels proclaimed. That is the peace that Jesus said, I leave with you, and it's different from that of the world. But it had a cost. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from a prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And then they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief.
When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
You see, I have a different view of what lays in that manger. When I look down, I don't see a calm baby in peace. I see him as God saw him that day, as a lamb to be given up to the slaughter, as a perfect sacrifice for all. Turn with me to Revelation 5. In verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. You see, when that day comes, in the end, when we're all up there in heaven, and we see Jesus Christ, we're going to see him as that lamb. A lamb that has gone through the slaughter with the wounds still upon him. The cuts, the bruises that it pleased our Lord to do upon his own son for our sins, for peace. That's how we'll see Jesus Christ, as that sacrifice. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, even having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and nation and people, every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and as such are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. That is the peace. That is the peace that was brought to earth. This weekend we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and our Savior. As our brother mentioned this morning, he came here for only one reason, and that was to die for us. this holiday when you think back of that little baby being born. Please remember the peace that he brought. You get a chance to see friends and family in this holiday that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the temptation is, it's a holiday. It's time to kick back and have fun with our friends. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. As we have these opportunities to talk with our friends and our family, we shouldn't pass up the opportunity to tell them what peace really is. What peace really means. If we love them enough to wrap up a gift and give it to them, why don't we love them enough to tell them how to avoid the wrath of God abiding on them? This might be the last opportunity for you to see some of your friends and family. We don't know how much time is for any one of us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word, Lord. I want to thank you for your truth that cuts like a sword and pierces the souls, just like you told Mary through your angel and through the prophecy of Simeon, that your Son would be our Savior. We just only have to accept it. Accept the gift that you gave us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we go forth into this week and this holiday, Lord, that you remind us we're celebrating the birth of the perfect sacrifice that brings peace between you and each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give us that opportunity to demonstrate your love to our friends and our family this season and for the rest of the year. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give us that boldness to do those difficult things that you've laid before us, that courage to step out. And this morning, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for looking down upon the world. Loving us so much that you would send your Son
to make peace. Through the bruises, the beatings, the blood that was spilt, so that your wrath doesn't come on those who believe upon your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
It's time for our invitational hymn. If something that we said this morning has stirred you,